Time to bring in Mike Kazi and time to check sports. Morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
You know, I'm getting to the point where I'm not going to watch anything on my big screen TV except for movies. Yesterday, I put on the Major League Baseball Network because I like watching that. It's a fun network to watch. But this whole thing about Google fan voting for the All-Star teams, they were treating it like it was a political story, and it was nothing but that's all they talked about yesterday. Hey, listen, I'm all for naming All-Stars. I think it's great. I think they deserve the credit. I think they get bonuses for it and everything like that. But geez, enough is enough. Can't you just say, here's the All-Star starters, here's on the All-Star teams. Congratulations. Let's get to the game.
It needs to go back to the old way of doing things. Fans are nothing more than fans. They pay their money to watch a game. They're not supposed to have a say in the outcome of anything. With the fans controlling the voting, it's a joke. It's stupidity at its best. The managers and the peers of the players are the people that are supposed to pick the All-Star team. Period. End of story. They know who deserves it. They know who the best players are. They're the ones that are supposed to pick it. The fans are supposed to do nothing but shell their money out and go watch the game. That's all they're entitled to. Fans are what they are. They're fans. They're not players. They're not athletes. They're fans, and they need to realize that. It's ridiculous what they do with these sports.
All right, so now the Yankees and the Red Sox are going to be in jolly old London. Did you see a picture of the stadium they're playing in?
Yep.
Three things that came to me, and I'm not a baseball player, but I am somebody who watches baseball a lot and always has. One, unless they have a full crowd, they're going to
have a hitting background.
Yeah, white seats.
Well, put it this way: if they don't have a full crowd, they shouldn't be playing the games over there.
But white seats. So and the dimensions. You think Yankee Stadium's a bandbox? Left and right field, 330 feet. Center field, 385 feet. But the only reason it rates as 385 feet because it's a 16-foot high wall.
Wow! So it's probably like 365.
Yeah, 365, 370, yeah. Unbelievable.
What a joke.
I mean, unless there's some incredible pitching, there's going to be just tons of runs.
Oh, it doesn't matter if there's incredible pitching, because that's nothing more than a routine fly ball to center field is going to be in stands.
Yeah, it's going to be football scores. And I'm not talking about football across the pond. I'm talking about American football.
That's what they want. They want to have a 16-15 game. That's what they want. That's what they're going to get, and people can watch it. I won't.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I feel sorry for the teams that they have to be over there, because it's a big break to travel, to then stay there for two games and then travel back. I'm sorry.
Big time switch too.
Yeah, it's just wrong.
It's stupidity at its best. Like I said, you know, when you care that the fans have interest in, because that they are actually taking part in things. Who cares? You don't like it, don't watch it. Change the channel. Don't go. That's your prerogative. Stop giving the fans power. They should have no power.
All right. So now we have to get on to the Mets.
Oof.
Oh, my
Just when
God.
You thought
the oh,
it couldn't get any worse.
God.
It gets worse.
That was just, because I was watching the Major League Baseball Network, okay? That was the one thing that came on that was unbelievable. They go into the ninth inning with a 3-1 lead. two outs. Boom.
No.
What? Was
no,
it?
There were not two outs.
There weren't?
Not two outs.
Okay, I thought there was two outs.
No. The mighty Diaz only got one out. One third of an inning was all he pitched.
Two bombs.
Well, here's his pitching line, and they're saying how great this guy was in Seattle last year. One third of an inning pitched, three hits, five runs, five earned, two walks, one strikeout, two bombs. Thanks for showing up.
and with everything else that's going on with the Mets, it's a game like that can be the capper that actually sinks the ship totally.
What's his name should be? He should have been on a Pony Express back to New York after being fired after this game yesterday, and he wasn't.
Oh my God!
If he wasn't fired after this game yesterday, he shouldn't be. I was watching some of the game earlier because I had a game last night, so I had to start moving near the end of it. So I missed the debacle. I just missed it. Wheeler pitched good. Here's the problem: 107 pitches in six innings. He'd get two strikes on a guy, and he has no out pitch. Yeah. Folks, an out pitch is a pitch that you throw to get someone out. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. He just kept hammering up fastball after fastball after fastball, and the Phillies just kept fouling it and fouling it and fouling it. What kind of a pitching coach? Well, we know what kind of a pitching coach we got. He's probably – I'm not even going to say it. I don't want to get in trouble. But – they know what kind of pitching coach they have and what kind of pitching coaches they have had. When a major league pitcher does not have a pitch that he can throw to depend to get an out, that he has to keep hammering fastballs up there. I thought I was watching some mindless sophomore pitcher in high school pitch that only had two pitches. Absolutely pathetic. 107 pitches for six innings. Oh, but he only gave up two hits. Yeah, but he couldn't get a ball by somebody to get an out. He couldn't throw a pitch to a spot where a batter would hit it and would hit a routine ground ball or hit a fly ball. These guys do not know how to pitch. And by watching Wheeler yesterday, it just epitomized it. It was an absolutely pathetic performance, only to be outdone by Diaz's. I don't even know what kind of adjective we can use to explain that. Absolutely pathetic. Five runs in the bottom of the ninth inning with only getting one out. Back in the day, you would say, ship him to Peoria. Well, I don't know where they're going to ship this guy, but he shouldn't be playing Major League Baseball, not the way he's pitching.
Could you imagine if George Steinbrenner owned that team?
Oh, my God. He would have set the bus on fire.
Yeah, yeah. The pitching coach would have been fired.
Everybody would be fired yesterday. It would have been
the manager,
the Philadelphia massacre.
The manager, the general manager.
Gone. Everybody would have gone. He would have put anybody there just to do it, just to get rid of him.
And you can make.
And you know what? The Mets need a shakeup like that because their total organization stinks. But the problem is the ownership won't allow it.
Yeah. You know, people made fun of Steinbrenner, but you know what?
He had his faults.
Yeah.
But with a team like the Mets and what they're doing and the way they're competing, they need to clean house.
Yeah.
And the quicker, the better.
Today's Yankee fans don't remember what the Yankees were like before Jordan Steinbrenner came around for about 5 years. They were terrible.
They were the Mets.
They were terrible.
They were like the Mets.
Yeah.
Horace Clark, 220. Tommy Trash hitting 210. Oh, it was a pathetic mess of players.
Muschito in center field.
Jake Gibbs was your catcher.
Unbelievable. All right. Let's see here. All right. Do you want to do some racing for this weekend?
Yeah, we got a couple to do.
All right.
Start tomorrow at Belmont Park with the Mother Goose. A mile and a 16th on the main track, one turn. This draws 6 3-year-old fillies. Looking at this race yesterday, down on the inside, Dunbar Road's listed as a 4-5 morning line favorite. You can keep it. This horse ran in a six-horse race in the Gulfstream Park Oaks and got beat, ran second. Ran in an overnight allowance at Belmont against five horses, won by five, really didn't beat anybody. This horse does not impress me. The reason why he's 4-5 is because the field's not good. One horse that I'm going to use and I'm going to play is the two-horse, Classic Fit, trained by Mike Stidham. This horse has been off since December, but this horse ran a nice one-turn mile down at Gulfstream Park at 13-1. It was working very good for Michael Stidham down at Fair Hills. This horse is an 8-1 morning line, and I see very little difference between the 4-5 and the 2-1 shot. I'm going with 8-1 shot. I'm going with the two horse, the 8-1 shot, Classic Fit tomorrow in the Mother Goose, and that race goes off about 5:15. From there, we're going to go to Churchill Downs for two. Couple of 2-year-old races I'm going to use tomorrow for plays. The 10th race is the $125,000 debutante, 6 furlong for 2-year-old fillies. Couple horses I'm looking at in here. The favorite looks good, Magic Dance, trained by Steve Asmussen. One first time out over the track at Churchill Downs by 4-plus lengths. This horse is every bit of 8-5 and deserves to be. But then again, these are two-year-old fillies, and you never know what to expect, so tread lightly here. Another horse I'm looking at is going to be the two-horse Take Charge Indy, another horse that won by 3-plus lengths for Pat Byrne at Churchill Downs, coming off two very good works for this race at 3-1. This horse is a good play. And another horse I'm looking at is the five-horse, My Good Girl. This horse won last time out by 7-plus lengths at Indiana Downs. Prior to that, ran in the 4.5 furlong baby races at Keeneland. This horse is coming in off a really, really good work at the Thoroughbred Training Center, which is a very deep, heavy track in Lexington. This horse had the best work of 49 horses at that distance that day, ran 47-4. Very good work. Like I said, two-year-old fillies, they improve and they go the other way overnight. My Good Girl could be sitting on a real nice race at 10-1, and that's going to be my top playing debutante. So I'm going to use the 5, the 10-1 shot, My Good Girl, with the 2. Indy Takes Charge in the 7, Magic Dance. And then the complimentary race is the Bashford Manor, grade 3 for 2-year-old colts going 6 furlongs. Very, very crazy race here. There's a few maidens in this race. You can go a lot of ways in here. I'm going to go outside to the 10-horse Rowdy Yates. This is another Steve Asmussen first-time winner at Churchill Downs, won by 4-plus lengths at 2-1, 7-2 morning line. I don't think you're going to see 7-2 on this horse. He's going to break from the gate and try to wire the field. But the interesting horse I'm looking at is going to be one of these maidens, the two-horse, Snell Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Kentucky had a running back. His last name was Snell. I think he was the great the grandnephew of Matt Snell that used to play for the Jets. This horse has some tactical speed, shows an ability to close as well, only ran twice, both on a sloppy track, so tomorrow, hopefully, should have a fast track, and has some nice works again at the Thoroughbred Training Center in Lexington. 8-1 morning line, that's the way I'm going to go in this race. I'm going to take the two-horse at 8-1, pair him up with Rowdy Yates, the 10-horse, a 2-to-win and a 2-10 exacta box tomorrow in the Bashford Manor at Churchill in what is the 11th race at Churchill Downs.
All right.
Those are the races for the weekend.
All right, Mike, have a good weekend, and we'll speak to you on Monday.
Vive la France!
Okay. Okay. Goodbye, you Frenchman.
Have a great day.
Goodbye. Mike Cossey with the check on sports this morning here on The Breakfast Club.